want to say previously on the Bennett Brothers Marvel podcast and make it funny, but I can't think of anything, and so I'm just going to say welcome to the Bennett Brothers Marvel podcast for the TV series WandaVision. I'm Jerry Bennett, and I'm so disappointed in how this worked.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Previously on our podcast, we talked about the show WandaVision.
Don't rub it in my face.
And we're continuing to talk about the show WandaVision, the latest episode, episode 8, called previously on.
I was just doing it for fun. Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
We're going to spoil the heck out of the episode, talk about theories and thoughts and where we're going into the finale episode of episode 9 of WandaVision on Disney+. So this should be exciting to see where we go, see if we've gotten questions answered, see what questions still remain. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about. This is a really good episode. It's one of the higher rated episodes out of this series. I think people really liked the emotional gravitas of this episode. So we're going to dive right in, unless there's any news. There is no news to talk about. Nothing important as far as the topics we cover.
Spider-Man 3, Home Fries.
Home Fries is the name of it. Episode 8. Jerry, what are you thinking?
It was good. It's the longest episode yet, and it still felt like it went by like that. Great stuff. Great stuff. You?
You snapped, and I disappeared, and I just came back.
It's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years. Jesus. Oh, no, I loved it. I was actually not looking forward to watching this a second time because of the heavy emotional nature of this episode. But to watch it again and dive into what they were trying to do with the story and connections they were making to the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole, I love it. I love it. This show is hitting on every cylinder, and it's hitting all my buttons, all of them. And I'm excited to see where it's going to go next. So this episode, 8, directed by Matt Shakman, if you didn't know that.
Can we just say that he directs them all and you don't have to keep saying it?
Well, I'm assuming he directs the last one. I actually had to do Jerry and I had talked previously about how long...
Previously we talked.
They were filming this show for, because in movies you don't get to bond with your cast as much as you would do in a normal TV show when you're spending years with these people, and especially when they were doing 22, 23 episodes a season.
Yeah, those Harry Potter kids never got to really bond with each other.
They got to bond because they did it over a course of time. But I'm saying I looked into how long this was, like a 3-month filming process. So even though it's television, it's 9 episodes, it's a 6.5-hour movie roughly. They only spent about 3 months filming it, so they're not together as long as a TV show would be, a normal TV show, a syndicated TV show would be together. So I thought I would just share that with you all as well. So yeah, we can say that Matt Shakman directs the next episode, but I'm probably going to bring it up anyways. Okay. We get the Marvel logo opening, and this time it is purple. It has the purple magic coming from it.
You said purple like Obama.
Purple.
And it's purple. You just did. I don't know why you did, but
I didn't hear it until you did it. It's purple.
Oh my God, that was stupid. Okay. I love it. Can you say purple? Oh, never mind.
Let's go. Again. What about the blue purple combination? Purple. It's terrible. Okay, so we start this episode. I got giddy right off the bat with this episode. This episode starts in 1693 in Salem, Massachusetts, which is the same year as the Salem witch trials. I get giddy over this because I am always a sucker for when they go into the Marvel Cinematic Universe past. Now,
he does. He really does.
If you listen to our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, you hear me go nuts when they go way back in time to when the Kree first came to the planet and set up everything with Hive and the Inhumans. Now that's probably not canon, but as far as how far back we've gone in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the films and everything, we have Dark World was in 2988 BC and Thor was in 965 AD. Those are two things that we've seen on film. This is now the third farthest back, I believe, in 1693. The only reason I bring this up is because if they ever wanted to do a show that takes place in, you know, the 1700s, well, there are superpowers out there. They're witches. What other superheroes could there possibly be? Does Marvel delve into that often, Jerry, in their comics?
Yeah, of course.
I know they deal with like things like Hercules.
It's all going to change when Eternals come out because they're all immortal and they've been around forever. So it's going to have them through different time periods. The whole movie is going to be them at different time periods, probably.
Well, that's exciting to me. I love that. I love that. That it's like when they showed in Ant-Man and the Wasp, like what they were doing during the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's the only like bit we have from the 60s, and I love that. I love that.
There was a reference that we kind of knew about the Salem because Agatha, had previously said that her June 3rd, I think it was, she said that was her wedding anniversary with Ralph, and June 3rd is when the Salem witch trials supposedly happened. I believe that's the date. Joel has all the information in front, I'm assuming that.
Sure.
Okay.
That sounds good. Agnes, or Agatha Harkness.
Let's call her Agatha from now on.
Agatha. She is put on trial by other witches and her mother. How do you say this? Evanora Harkness is her mother's name. Played by Kate Forbes, who was in the TV show Dark Place, All Saints. She is wearing the brooch that we've seen previously. We've talked about previously. The brooch could be, it looks like three figures of some sort.
The witch, the crone, and the mother, or the mother, the saint, the crone. There's all sorts of different things. It could be there's a lot of different speculation on this and how that will tie into the show going into the final episode, because we've seen so many images of it. And Agatha in the comics wears a brooch too. It could represent how this is going to play out at the end. If Agatha is battling or with Wanda, if perhaps the Dottie character who may show up as a part of this or something, there could be three different women, or it could be tying into Monica showing up. So there's speculation that there is a connection to that.
If they brought Dottie in as some main person in this, I would be shocked. Because we've seen her
three times.
We have one major episode with her, and then
one
the
joke.
Other two times, they're blinking, you miss them.
I know.
So if she became someone who's major,
reason I believe that is possible is for two reasons. Emma Caulfield, the woman who's playing Dottie, is more than just a C-list actor or a D-list actor. She actually has a little pedigree, other than obviously from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and other ones. So there's a connection to that, and there was conversation regarding her being hired for the show, which she had to get approved by Kevin Feige. So that made people think maybe she has a bigger role. Could be misdirection. And the other reason is one of the podcasts that I do listen to that actually interviews different people on the show, they were supposed to interview her this week for this episode, and the powers that be that control who gets interviewed or whatever said, maybe you should hold off until next week before you interview her.
Well, that's some inside news that I was unaware of.
So that could be nothing, but it makes me wonder, we'll see.
Or if Deborah Jo Rupp, I believe, the actress from That 70s Show, who we've seen numerous times, who always gets her name in like top billing or like near the top billings, is she going to play a bigger part? Probably not.
I don't think so.
But I think we've seen her as much as we've seen Dottie.
We've seen her in the first episode, we've seen her in the second episode, and we've seen her in this episode.
So there you go. But she always gets like really top billing on this thing. So we have this cool opening sequence here with all the witches firing their power at her, which is like this blue kind of power, not photon like, but different.
We're seeing blue magic, and obviously we see the purple magic.
Well, we first see Agatha. She starts turning red, like it's inside of her, and then the red takes over the blue, which red and blue make purple. So then we start getting purple power. And then her mother flies in the air and starts zapping her with that blue power as well. And while she's doing that, she makes a crown on her head out of magic.
I've heard speculation that the crown could be a reference to how Scarlet Witch has headpiece, which I don't believe so. There is also a character that his name has escaped me. Some obscure Marvel witch character that has a crown very similar to that. I'm not sure, but that could be that. But it's real in the woods on that.
But Agatha wins, kills her mother, kills all the fellow witches by de-aging them, or as we like to call it, she Raiders of the Lost Arks them. Actually, I guess it would be more Last Crusades them.
Life Force.
Takes them out, and that now we cut back to present time. So
before
we
you go there, where do you feel right now with the character of Agatha Harkness? Is she the villain? Is she the bad guy in this based on her actions here?
She is bad.
Okay.
But I'll put it this way. She believes what she's doing is right, and she wants power. The same way Caiaphas, whoever the bad guy was from Doctor Strange, who got tempted by the dark magic, the dark book, and was a follower of Dormammu. Like, he was a bad guy because he wants to destroy Earth or give it over to Dormammu, but he's also, like, looking to get power and do what he thinks is right.
Okay.
That's the way I look at his character.
The reason I ask it is obviously because the character in the comics and historically is not a bad guy. It's a gray character that actually has a lot of positive moments when the character is Wanda's teacher. And so it's not so cut and dry. So we're very curious if they decide to keep her as the bad guy or if they're going to find out that she's been manipulated or that she's trying to do something. We'll find out. But the opening of this really does paint her evil.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you, now that you're making me think about this more, because what has she done that's been evil?
Well, she could have killed the dog. She has two kids at the end of this episode held
by the
throats.
But the dog wasn't real.
Well, I know, I'm pointing out those. And she killed her mother, who was trying to get her.
To kill her, yes. Yeah. Because we know she's not, she didn't create anything there.
Well, everything's suspect at this point.
Well, she didn't create it. Wanda saw that she, unless that all is a lie that we saw this episode, which I don't think is true.
No.
She's there to figure out how Wanda got the power.
For her own selfish needs,
which, you know, it's, you know, well, that's fine. I don't, in real life, we would never say something like a sports player, like if someone learns a new technique and the sports player tries to learn that, we're never like, oh, they're trying to steal their power for their own selfish needs.
What are they going to throw footballs at people? Like, he's killing 20,000 people with footballs.
But if Agatha doesn't go around killing people, if she goes around, I've got all this power now and I can help people, like,
yeah,
no, well, then
there's
you're
no altruism there.
So we come to present time, yes. Agatha is talking to her familiar, I'm assuming it is, Senior Scratchy. Can she talk to Senior Scratchy, Jerry? Is that something she hears?
I've heard speculation that the reason she's using a rabbit versus a cat, which in the book is cats can notoriously be a pain in the butt to deal with. So
makes sense.
They went with a rabbit.
That
rabbits
makes
to sit there.
Perfect sense. We get a moment here where Agatha questions Wanda's accent again. Oh, that accent comes and goes, doesn't it? Real easy. I love it. Still don't know what that means, but it's something that is obviously a part of the show.
Wanda tries to read her thoughts, and she said their thoughts aren't available. And also, since we're in the basement, we get to look, as I'm assuming you're going to talk about the rune stones around the room, meaning that only Agatha can use magic here, and Wanda cannot.
Nope, not going to talk about that because you just explained it.
That one rune stone with the circle, we got to really see two of them. The circle one, I looked at it several times. I'm thinking it reminded me of the staff that Nico has in Runaways that her mom gave her, but because that's another magical element that we saw in Doctor Strange.
And
I was waiting to see if that was going to show up there or if it was something like that, but it wasn't.
No, that's a pretty good. I like that connection to Runaways. That would be fun. We get the first moments here of Agatha not understanding how Wanda doesn't get the basics of being a witch. She's like, you don't understand even a basic protection spell. Like, how are you this powerful and you don't understand the basics?
And it aggravates her. You can see that she's biting her tongue. Like, how can you do this? I've worked so hard. And she shows it in the sequence when she takes the cicada, transforms it into a bird, and flips it around because she's learned certain spells. Mind control and manipulation and
transfiguration.
And she's mad that Wanda can just do it.
Yep.
You know, like that. She talks about fake Pietro.
Oh, I want to point out with the cicada real fast. When she has the cicada and it goes onto Wanda's face, I really thought it was going to end up in her mouth. I think I've watched too many horror movies.
Yes, you have. I didn't think it was, but I did go, oh, don't eat it. Don't eat it.
Senior Scratchy eats it. Yeah,
Actually, I was afraid that Agatha was going to eat it.
Fake Pietro. This is a great moment here and a thing for us to talk about because that's what this podcast is for. So she says, giving us no hint, she goes, I can't bring anyone back from the dead besides he's not in, I can't bring him back from the dead because he's not on this continent and
he's a bullet riddled mess.
So she could do necromancy if she wanted to, it sounds like, but she decided to bring in a fake Pietro.
Did she bring him in?
She said she brought him in, and then because she controlled him and she was his eye, she was using him as her eyes and ears, so she brought him in. Now this could,
but from where we don't know.
Yes, from That's where. All. So this could all, they could easily on this show just go, yeah, no, this guy has nothing to do
it
with
better
the X-Men.
Not be a stunt casting. He has to be the Quicksilver.
Right, he does, doesn't he?
They need to have a sequence in the last episode where he gets his memory or whatever, and he does a sequence in the episode, which we're hoping is going to be a longer episode, that he does
a Quicksilver scene
done to a piece of pop music too.
You're stealing my idea.
Well, I just think that's what they really need to
do.
This
is my idea. Okay. I want them to do this.
Well, I do too.
I think it would be brilliant. I mean, they could still do it, and he has nothing to do with the X-Men universe, right? They could still do a Quicksilver sequence if they wanted to. I don't think it would ruin the show, but it would definitely knock it down just a bit for me if they went, yeah, he has nothing to do with the X-Men universe. Because then it's like, oh, you just did it just to be clever and witty, and it had no purpose for storytelling to cast this actor as opposed to just rebooting it altogether. So, I mean, that's something we'll find out next week. I think that's going to be a big thing is next week. Hopefully that'll deal with it. There's a moment here when Agatha walks up to Wanda and pulls a hair out of her head, and it doesn't faze Wanda in any way.
It's because it's a CG. she didn't know she was supposed to go, oh!
Yeah, right? Because if someone pulls a hair out of my head, like one hair, I'm like, oh, God, what the heck? Maybe it's because I'm not a superhero.
I think pulling a short hair versus a long hair might be different, too.
Yeah, right? When we go to Wanda's childhood, so we're going to get some previously on Wanda's life here. We get to meet Wanda's parents, who are not the actors that were in all the commercials.
That is true. That kind of killed that theory.
We get to meet her parents. Oleg, played by, it's a one-name actor, Danny Yar, who is in Sweet Bitter and The Blacklist. Irina, who's played by Ileana Kachanchi, who is in an episode of The Veep and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Chicago PD. And we get to see Quicksilver and Wanda as kids.
Not the same actors who played them in just the two episodes ago.
Yep, when we saw them in the commercial, when they were trick-or-treating. These are not the same actors, which is very interesting.
Yes, it is.
Not sure why they did that, but I'm sure we could theorize.
Well, we should get a podcast if we're going to do that.
So they are having television night, right? And then they, I believe it is Quicksilver, and it's like, we speak English on television night, which is a nice way of going, good, so we don't have to do too many more subtitles here.
There are people who have wondered, and they've been looked into the fact that these DVD box sets are coming out when this is supposed to theoretically be taking place in a specific year. I believe it's supposed to be 2003, based on their ages and what was established already in Age of Ultron. I could be wrong about the year. And so consequently, people have looked and said, not all of these box sets are supposedly out on DVD at that point, but that's a minor point. Do you want to name all the DVD box sets that are in that box?
There's Malcolm in the Middle, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, all the shows we've seen. Eventually, Dick Van Dyke gets pulled out of the wall.
By the way, you mentioned Bewitched. Ironically, the thing about it, Bewitched, I don't know if you realize, and they mention it later in the episode about being bewitched, Agatha's house is the house from Bewitched.
Yes, the house they shot at. I was going to mention that last week because I knew about that information last week, but I was like, it's a back lot. They use the houses that are on the back lot. But yeah, they do call it out in this episode. So there's a couple more DVDs in there that are escaping me because I didn't write it down.
Brady Bunch?
No, Brady Bunch wasn't part of it.
Oh, whatever.
They do watch season 2, episode 21 of Dick Van Dyke show called Look Like a Walnut.
Which, by the way, I just rewatched the episode.
Did you?
Yeah. It's a fantastic episode. I watched it as a kid, remembered it, haven't seen it in decades, but it still holds up. It's a great episode. I got it confused with another episode. They did like five dream episodes over the course of five seasons on Dick Van Dyke show. And there's another episode that deals with going bald. The character goes bald. And I always confused it with this episode, but the best part about the other one that is not this one, is it ends with a dream in a dream, which was the first time I'd ever seen that. Where like you wake up and like all of a sudden it's still in a dream and then they wake up again.
Yes,
and it was so early on in that trope. But the Walnut episode that I did rewatch is a fantastic episode. And what is great about it is it just shows you how much from that first episode of this season, which was the Dick Van Dyke-like episode, that it captured and just brought all that back there. So. And I mean, just the little stuff from looking like Mary Tyler Moore to the kitchen to everything. But it's a great episode. It's really funny. Watch it.
We'll do a podcast.
Also, Mary Tyler Moore was unbelievable. My God.
Jerry didn't want less. He wanted more Mary Tyler Moore. I didn't think it out.
You did not.
And then we get the most shocking moment of the episode. Literally shocking. And it happened to me twice. I jumped both times. An explosion goes off, killing her parents. Now, this is interesting. I have not verified this yet, and I'm I was going to before this podcast, and I did not. But apparently in Age of Ultron, Pietro talks about their parents dying a little differently. They died during dinner.
And that's minor.
It's minor, but it is a little bit different.
Wasn't she making dinner?
No. They were just sitting around watching TV.
I mean, when they came into this sequence, I think she was in the kitchen doing something. So maybe that has to do with dinner time.
Maybe he said they were eating dinner.
Now that scene where the mom is looking outside and seeing that war zone. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm just the idea like that's going on out there, and there's one thing to be living in there and being in hiding or being in a, you know, a closet or a bunker, but it's going on and just going on with life at that time, and that, which again, obviously historically people do that all the time, from, you know, the bombing during England in World War II to what goes on in the Middle East at any given time, you know, decades. So it was just scary.
So the explosion made me jump both times I saw. I saw it. It was pretty well done. We get to see a Stark bomb get dropped into the apartment.
Kill, yes.
It doesn't go off. This one doesn't go off. They're trapped there for 2 days around it. Now, here's a moment of contention that I've seen people write online, and I have to question it. Agatha goes, you probably used a probability hex on the bomb,
mm-hmm.
Without knowing it. So you probably had these powers before.
They don't give us a clear answer to this.
They do not. When people are saying this is true, it's like, no, if you watch it, at no point, she goes,
she reached her hand
probably
out,
doing that, but it doesn't say she did do that.
No, but we see her doing something with her hand, unless she's manipulating the memory.
And, well, there's that. She could just be doing anything with her hand. It's...
Because, well, she's reaching out the way she does as an adult, using her powers.
The reason this is important is because if they had these powers before they were ever experimented on, could they be mutants? It goes back into the Fox and Disney deal, or back Marvel and Fox deal, when they said you can't say, you know, you can use twins, but you can't say they're mutants and they can't be born with the powers or stuff like that. So is this a way of Disney now retconning because they have this this stuff back? Maybe. Or she got her powers from the mind, or she got her original powers altogether from the Mind Stone.
Yeah, I don't think that's the truth. I think that, like Agatha says, that it would have gone untested. It would never have developed had not for when she does touch the Mind Stone, it released it. And obviously her brother also survived it, because we're told nobody else did. So is it because they both have the same bloodline, because they're twins, that's how they both did it? Or was it that would that Wanda give a protection to? Did she give the power over to Pietro? I don't think
maybe.
So.
Maybe does
I don't
does,
think so.
Does Pietro have natural? Is he really fast without having gotten more powers from the Mind Stone?
Well, I think that I'm going by what Agatha says, which she says your power would have died on the vine had it not been for an Infinity Stone, and I think that means that she had power, and obviously he had power. That's how I took it.
To run fast.
They had power, and the power was going to die on the vine. It was buried inside that they weren't using. And the Mind Stone, instead of killing them like it did everybody else, we're told, it unleashed their mutant abilities.
So like Inhumans from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If they were Inhumans, yes.
It gives them a specific power. They don't have
it
a
unleashes
choice.
It unleashes what power they already have so inside
that, but
them.
This one's saying that Agatha is saying you were already a witch. You did a probability hex, so you were already a witch, and it just
and
made
she
you
disagrees with her.
Witch.
She says it wasn't. It was just the bob was a dud. Agatha's really unconvinced. She's like, so much trauma, and yet you were safe as kittens the whole time. So what I see here is a baby witch obsessed with sitcom and years of therapy ahead of her. I'm just paraphrasing.
Yeah. No. I agree. And that's why I think this is a questionable sequence here, and I think there's different ways to look at it, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
I think it's going
to
get revealed.
I agree. Now she walks through another door, and she is seeing the experiment that she undertook while she was...
Hail Hydra.
Yeah, Hail Hydra takes place, you know, back during Captain America.
Nope, during Age of Ultron. Actually, before both of those.
It was before Age of Ultron, but it was at the end... Wasn't it at the end of Captain America?
Winter Soldier, we see them after they've gotten the power. So, yeah, so it's
taking
around
place
that,
during
that time period,
yeah.
Yes.
We see two Hydra scientists. I thought this was a missed opportunity to bring back either...
Strucker or Dr. List.
Who
I was hoping so too.
List made an appearance for a couple episodes on S.H.I.E.L.D. and he died like that in Agents of...
The actor who played Strucker is a bigger actor who's probably doing something else, I'm guessing, for just a small scene.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
We haven't seen Aaron Taylor Thomas or Joy or whatever his name... we screw his name up. But we haven't seen him come back even for a sequence yet either.
Not yet. We'll see if that comes back next week. We get to see Loki's staff, though. That makes a cameo. There it is, Loki's staff. It has the blue gem in it, which we find out is holding the Mind Stone. I think we kind of always knew that.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see it explode for
What do you mean kind
Wanda.
Of knew that?
Did we actually ever see this?
Yeah, that's what happened. That's how it got on Vision. Ultron smashed it and found it
You're
inside
right. yep,
it.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Yeah. Wanda touches it and she sees something. What does she see, Jerry?
She sees her future self, which we're going to see at the end of this next episode or at the latest in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. She sees an image of herself with her full-blown costume on. She's seeing the future.
How do you know it's herself?
Because in the promo photos that we've been given for this show, when they all are sitting in front of different television sets and we can see the Vision as he's human, plus we see parts of his outfit, when we see the images of her in front of television outfits, we see three different pictures of her costume. It's not the costume she's always worn. It's something different. And the image that we see in this episode, people have taken that image, frozen it, and then adjusted the contrast or the luminance, and you can clearly see it is her in that outfit.
Do you think that outfit is going to differ dramatically from her Halloween costume outfit?
Yes, absolutely. You can already I posted it on Facebook.
I know. I'm like. Just I,
it's like, absolutely different. In fact, look at the
it's
still.
Not absolutely different. She has the cape and
it looks like the detailed how Captain America's outfit looks. It's the difference between Captain America at the very beginning of Captain America the First Avenger, where he's wearing the cloth outfit, and what he eventually looks like in Endgame. Yeah, they're both dressed as Captain America, but one looks like something you could buy at a store, and the other one looks like something that was spent $50,000 on a movie studio putting it together.
It's a lot of money on a costume. She survives the touch, and she gets put into isolation, and in isolation, she is watching an episode of The Brady Bunch.
Kitty Carryall.
The episode's called Kitty Carryall is Missing.
We've seen this doll, actually.
Yeah, and I called it out. Scoop confirmed. I've called this out earlier. No, it's... I did mention this, though, back in the day when Vision was changing the doll's diapers in the episode...
The Brady Bunch episode, basically.
Yeah, 21. Now in color.
Episode 21?
And then
21?
We cut back to the scientists. They're
you just
watching...
said episode 21.
Yeah, I don't know why I said episode 21. It's now in color. Episode 21 has nothing to do with anything.
My God, how many extra episodes are you watching?
I watch these in chunks, so this is my 21st episode. The scientists are watching the footage of what happened, and the footage is edited. Very much like the sitcoms get edited when they're being broadcast out of the Hex.
Who did that?
Who's doing... Well, we know it's... I'm pretty sure we're knowing it's
How would Wanda consciously do that back then when she first got the powers? I don't think so. I think somebody else is editing this because we're being told this stuff is being edited. So I believe there's something more nefarious going on.
I like that thought. I like that thought. And now we're going to change time periods again and we go towards the Avengers compound.
This is Captain America Civil War time period. Mm-hmm.
Wanda is watching Malcolm in the Middle at this time.
This is before what happens at the, the location? Largo. This is before Largo, which was the sequence when she threw the explosion up into the air of Crossbones that killed all those Wakandans people. So this was before that.
Pre-Lagos. Bryan Cranston makes his Marvel Cinematic Universe debut. Which was bound to happen at some point in this universe. And there he is as Walter White. Nope, there he is from Malcolm in the Middle. Vision enters the room just as he does in Captain America Civil War. He comes through the wall. I love this part of the show because we're really now starting to deal with the grief and the pain that Wanda has suffered after losing her brother Pietro. Which they never touch on in the movie. She just gets over him right away. Her twin, you know, her brother, the person she's known the longest, it seems like she never dealt with it. And this show is dealing with it. And I think it's doing a spectacular job of it. It's really showing that she's going through a lot because of it. Obviously, she builds on top of that with losing her parents and losing Vision. But just for her to deal with her brother's death is something that they just didn't have time for in the movies. Yeah. And they're giving it now.
We're given an opportunity for Vision to, again, make human observations, very Data from Star Trek-like, as his character has been in all of these movies, when he gets to make these observations. I was just born yesterday. Those kind of statements about what is this? I don't know. Learning. And his response here when they're talking about sorrow and grief, and she's saying stuff like, when I try to stand up, it just comes for me again. It's like I'm just going to drown in it. It can't. And And Vision explains, obviously, because he's always been alone. He's never experienced loss because he has never had a loved one to lose. But then he makes the line, this incredible line. I mean, great. And goes, but what is grief if not love persevering? I mean, that's an incredibly great line.
It is.
I don't know if that's taken from someplace else. I've never heard it before, but my God, the writing on that line.
I thought it was great. I had a conversation with my partner, Jeff, and we were talking about it and how, where do you get a line like that from? Just throwing out like, but what is grief but stubbing your toe on a Lego? Like, no, that's not it. What is? But then he drops this wonderful line. I mean, he goes, but what is love if not grief persevering? And I was like, get out of here.
So where do we go next?
Next we see Wanda. She is entering S.W.O.R.D., the S.W.O.R.D. complex that we saw previously on this season. She walks in. She's going to want to give Vision a funeral. She goes up to the jerk at the security desk, who was a jerk previously. He's a jerk now.
I thought the other one... From when Monica showed up, I thought that was a different guy, actually.
Oh, I thought that was the same guy.
I thought the first one was... Oh, all right.
It could be different. This is a very close in time to when Monica's
there.
This is...
The blip has just ended. This is probably...
Yeah.
At least 2 weeks before
And Monica's was 3 weeks.
Yeah, so... And we know I'm guessing it's within... You know, because we know when Monica goes there, so it's probably within...
So unless they fired
less than
that
a week.
Guy or he's on a different shift, I think it's the same guy.
So this is an interesting sequence here that I'm going to bleed forward a little bit here, because mm-hmm. they talk about how the Vision deserves a funeral, she deserves it, he deserved it, she deserved it, and... This is an interesting statement that it's going to tie into what we're going to talk with director Tyler Hayward coming up here, is the idea of a funeral for him and the idea of burying him. It's a very true point that she goes, I just want to bury him, a funeral for him. And as we get into Tyler Hayward here coming up in this sequence, he's like, so you're just going to put, what is it, $5
billion,
$3 billion of vibranium into the ground. Consequently, that means we would have to have a complete armed tactical response guarding it 24/7, because that's people
and
would
not
go
only
for
that,
it.
He questions her motives. He's like, why would I give it to you when you're the only person, like the only person who could bring your soulmate back? He says
back online, forgive me, back to life.
Yeah, and so he's questioning her with that, and rightly so. Like, why would I just give him to you? Like,
is he questioning, or is he probing her, or is he pushing her forward, or is he still theoretically maybe Mephisto? Is he tied into this? Is he setting it up?
Is
for
he
that
the
way?
Big bad? I still don't think he's the big bad, but we'll find out. Wanda goes down the stairs. She busts through the window. She goes down. She ends up going to touch Vision's head. And she has the line, I can't feel you, which is reminiscent of the previous movies when she goes, I can feel you.
I can only feel you, yeah.
I can only feel you. So it's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful.
This footage that we see, this sequence here, is exactly what we saw in the camera footage earlier, but it's makes it look like director Hayward previously
doctored.
Took this and manipulated how it was played out.
Yes.
Versus the peaceful, he cuts to like everything going offline, so we never see the result of what she did there.
I was under the assumption, and just rightly so, but I was wrong, that she never takes the body out of there. And we find that out. She's created the body completely wholly in the hex.
Well, she goes out to her car after this, her car that is colored just like her.
Yeah, which I want to point out that it was, watching it a second time, it's very weird to see a parking lot. And especially, she's parked super far away. And I'm like, oh, you never see that. You don't get to see that often in Marvel movies, or like there's a parking lot and our main character has to park far away and walk to where they have to go to.
So,
or she could have flown. But.
So we don't know what's been manipulating her in these few weeks since she's been brought back to life from the blip. And obviously, she went to S.W.O.R.D. headquarters. Somebody sent her there. We see in her passenger seat that she's got a photocopy of a deed in there. We don't know how she got that, who got that, who's manipulating her to get that. Obviously, we find out that there's a little heart symbol on there. It says to grow old in V, basically saying or telling us that the Vision theoretically bought this piece of property in a terrible town. Like, why would he choose this town? That part right there stands out big time. Like, why would he choose this terrible, rundown, destroyed by the blip town? That's how I took it.
Well, he was around before. He wasn't around during the blip. He was around before the blip.
Okay, now that's not bad. I'll go. Also, again, it's a foundation. Like, it looks like there was a house there, or was it going to be getting built? We don't know. And again, if somebody's manipulating all this, that could have been someone else putting that there, and he never did it. And the reason I say that is because, depending on how this is going to play out in the next episode, we know that where this house that she built is right next door to Agatha's house, which has this thing in the basement that she theoretically could have transfigured that way. I give that. But
created
she,
it afterwards.
Yes, yeah. But she does make the statement that there is so many spells or so much power that has happened here in this location, which would be a real big coincidence if Vision chose this location just so happens to be next to a place that has all of this magic going on there.
I think the magic didn't start until she got there.
It's hard. You have to determine how Agatha is phrasing that, with saying that she's seen so much happening there. And we don't know if she's talking about historically because she's in an old basement, or if she's just referring to what Wanda has done since then.
This is a theory of, did Agnes show up before the Hex, or did Agnes show up after the Hex? And if she showed up after the Hex, then she created the basement for her to do all of her witchy stuff in.
By the way, on the other side of Wanda's house is where Dottie lives.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
So if Dottie turns out to be a witch or something too, that means Scarlet Witch is in between two witches.
Sure. I want to go back a little bit here because you mentioned something. Let's start the deed. So when I first watched it, she looks down, she sees the deed open and all that. I was like, is she shocked, surprised by it? But she's clearly read it before.
Exactly.
She looks at it and then she drives off to Westview.
Because they didn't show her like going, huh, what's this? Yeah.
You mentioned that it's photocopied, and I like that because I had written down, are you allowed to draw on a deed? Like, when he puts the heart on there, and then, like, our new home, V, and I'm like, why would you draw on a deed with red marker? Like, that's terrible. The fact that it's photocopied makes it okay. A couple of other interesting things. One, we get to see the S.H.I.E.L.D. complex from far away. As she's driving away, we get to actually see the massive scale of what I said S.H.I.E.L.D. of the sword complex, which is cool to see that. Because of the deed, we get to know that she lives on Sherwood Drive.
Which is named after the guy who created the Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch, yep.
And Gilligan's Island.
So she drives into town, Westview. We get to see a lot of the townspeople before they become under
the spell. I believe the black guy we see, isn't that Herb?
Herb. We get to see the mailman.
Who's a pizza delivery.
Well, I don't know if he's a pizza delivery. He could be a DoorDash, or he could be just a food delivery guy. But he's a delivery guy. We get to see
Dottie's husband, theoretically. He's putting up lessons how to play guitar or something.
Yeah, Dottie's husband. Yep, he plays piano. So we get to see some of these. We get to see some of these characters beforehand.
So she's there. She obviously gets overcome with grief, and she, just like she did in Age of Ultron, she explodes with all of this chaos magic energy, the red light that comes out. It sweeps through Westview. By the way, we never talk about that. If she's a witch there, she's the Wicked Witch of the Westview. It's a tie-in to something. I don't know. There's a connection there with Westview. Anyways.
Did you just think of that right now?
No, I heard it on someplace else.
I was going to say, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah. Wicked Witch of the Westview. So we see the town get changed. We see the marquee of the movie theater changes to Kidnapped and Big Red, which are two movies that could obviously have a subtle meaning here.
Red is the gum that Vision chokes on. So
we also see a billboard on a building that says something about something can be done in a snap. And I'm like, oh, well, there's a snap. There's a lot of subtleness happening. You can also take the approach that this town was in very, very poor shape. So maybe she's giving these people theoretically better lives, obviously manipulated lives.
Pietro mentions that earlier on. He says you've given these people better jobs.
Except for the ones who are stuck on the outside of town or just going slow motions while their tears are running down their face.
Yeah, no, it's...
So it turns everything black and white. We see Vision being formed, and we're seeing the red energy coming out of her turning into yellow, which is the Soul Stone, and that's transforming him.
No, Mind Stone.
Yes. And we see him bent backwards, kind of, and her bent backwards. Now, if you remember the first trailers we saw, we see that image of them both bent backwards and then sitting up real fast. And I was like, oh, is this going to be that scene? And then it never happened. So I don't know if that scene's still coming up in the next episode or if that was just something that they shot and then they didn't use it.
I don't remember that, but I do remember watching The Matrix. So,
well, it was, they both kind of sit up and they look at each other. So then at the end of this, we see Vision turns into, he says, Wanda.
Yes, he gets formed. A cool little camera shot here. We actually get to see Vision being formed in the reflection of the television, mirroring everything that's going on in this TV show.
And then we see Wanda become black and white and look her who she is. They sit down. Then the part after they were kissing, we see it's really her. And then we switch to the movie, the actual television studio.
Yeah.
And the lights, the colors change. And we see Agatha sitting up in there giving the golf clap.
The Bravo! Soundstage.
And she disappears
scene,
in smoke.
This moment, I wish it was just a little more gravitas to the soundstage. Like, it's the Truman Show. It's when she looks up and like, oh, I can see all this stuff I've never been able to see before. I love that. That's so like the idea that you're just so you have blinders mm-hmm. on and the blinders get taken off and all of a sudden you can see the audience or the lights, the camera is looking at you. It's Truman Show. It's a lot of other things. And I think it's just I wish it had just a little more gravitas to it. But it's still really good.
Yeah. After this, we obviously head out into the street because we're hearing our kids scream. And we're seeing now Agatha in her full quote-unquote costume, if you will, which I did mention last episode that we saw the bottom half of it right before the Agatha All Along sequence happens. So we can see her fully formed.
Scoop confirmed.
Yeah. And she's holding both kids by magical tendrils, which I think is supposed to represent the very, very same image that we from the comic books when the kids are actually extensions of arms of a supervillain. And it's really disturbing. And so they don't want to actually redo that scene. So they thought maybe this is as close as we're going to get to that disturbing looking image. Because even in the comics,
they're like leashes.
I'm saying that's a representation because they're not going to actually do what they did in the comics, which make them extensions of the arms because they were much smaller. They were like 2-year-olds in the comic book when they got absorbed. When they got absorbed back into Mephisto.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I think that,
I don't know if that iconography is supposed to work there. To be honest, I don't think they're going. We need to put them on leashes because it's like hands.
Well, it's supposed to representing the villains having her children held against their will.
That I agree with, but
so I'm
don't
just saying
think
it could be a representation of that in a certain way, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. So she has them on there. She ends up, you know, calling her the Scarlet Witch, which
this
is
whole
big...
little life you've made, this is chaos magic, Wanda, and that makes you the Scarlet Witch. Which why does that
does
make you the Scarlet
Agatha's
Witch?
Does face look different?
Well, I was told, and I did say, I read this, and I made the comment there that the beginning of this, they did slightly de-age her to make her look younger. And I saw it at the time, and I actually made that, and Debbie's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, nah, she looks slightly younger here. And obviously, when you're seeing her in full makeup here, she's got heavy eyeliner on. Her
yeah, well, she has like that
dark.
Bridge, that square nose sort of.
I didn't
going
see that.
On. If you like, she has the heavy eyeliner.
She has a heavy eyeshadow. Her nose is a little bit larger.
But it isn't like
Wanda's.
It doesn't. I never noticed it before
until
this scene where I was like, "She looks different. Like, her character looks different." I don't know. Maybe it's
so.
Just
she's called the Scarlet Witch. We don't know why she's called the Scarlet Witch. She
at
just
this
is.
Moment in the episode, why is she called Scarlet Witch? I mean, are there multiple Scarlet Witches throughout?
But
time?
Why Scarlet Witch? It's like she's like, yeah, you know, if this is chaos magic, that makes you the chaos witch. No, the Scarlet Witch. I know.
Scarlet's
I'm nitpicking.
Red.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Scarlet is red. So
that's why they call it the Scarlet Witch.
Now she's now the Scarlet Witch, which we did know going into this that Kevin Feige did come out and saying that by the end of this series, we will know why she's called the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, so she's the Scarlet Witch. Yeah. Agatha's the Purple Witch.
Yeah, so that's the end of the show, right? There's no more mid-credit sequences or anything.
Nope, none at all. None at all. I do want to point out, though, right after this scene, like, Vision should be arriving any second because he had just left.
If everything was happening at the same time, if everything was,
yeah, it's all right around the exact same time. So,
well, we don't know how long when Agatha is going through all that stuff with Wanda through the different time periods. We have no idea how long was that happening in real time. You know,
true.
Call could have been a blink of an eye. Easily, she went and brought her downstairs, and then
it could have been a blink of an eye. But there's also the scene that is. She's got the kids outside. There's the scene when Photon comes into town. There's a lot of time there, and I could be wrong, but I'm picturing next episode Vision's going to be arriving.
Oh yeah,
he's
definitely
going to
arrive
rather soon into the episode, into this dynamic.
Speaking of Vision,
yes, mid-credit sequence. We get to see Hayward. He's getting ready to send the missile or whatever it is.
No, there's no sending missiles.
Well, no,
or
he's
anything.
Sending something in. That's what he had said earlier.
He goes, is it ready to launch?
Ready to launch. Then he said he was going
to
launch
something.
The team
is ready to launch.
Yes. And we get to see a white Vision.
Yes, which is right out of the West Coast Avengers famous comic line.
Using the Stark drone from earlier this series.
Which is powered by her, it's chaos filled with magic. Her chaos magic, which again, the Vision was created. One of the things that brought him to life was her magic in Age of Ultron.
Yes.
So there it is. Now he goes, taking it from the source, so now we have all our pieces in place, theoretically, or some of the pieces in place for our final confrontation. Joel, do you think the confrontation will end with the old White Vision body and he's fighting the version of the Vision that we have in the Hex and they will fight together, which by the way, a lot of people, there's a whole thing to do with Paul Bettany said that he was going to be acting against some great actor he's wanted to act against his whole life. Now everybody thinks that it's actually, he was trolling fans and saying that the actor he always wanted to play against is actually himself.
Oh, that's absolutely what it is. It's so good.
I don't think he's that kind of a trolly kind of person.
I think he's absolutely I personally think that
it's going to be Al Pacino showing up as Mephisto in the final, and that character will be then the big bad guy in Doctor.
And Keanu Reeves is going to come in.
No, but it'll be Al Pacino, and they go, "Why would they have that?" Because then Al Pacino, whatever character he's going to become, Nightmare or Mephisto, he will then show up in and be the main villain in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which they haven't announced the bad guy yet until after next week, and they're going to, people are like, oh, that's why we now have Al Pacino down there filming, because they're filming Doctor Strange as we speak. Bruce Campbell has just finished filming his cameo sequence in that movie.
I don't know if you're joking or serious.
I'm not. I'm totally serious.
Like, Al Pacino's going to be playing the devil, and he's already played the devil
yes,
in the movie called
I think
Devil's
that's that's not my theory. It's a lot of people's theory based on Paul Bettany's statements and the fact that Al Pacino has said he would like to do that and has met with Kevin Feige before.
Ah, I like the idea that he's playing against some stuff. But that's okay. I mean, I would be totally okay.
So we're going to see Vision versus Vision. We're going to see Agnes and Wanda
Vision
fighting
versus Vision. And this is the way Vision can live outside the Hex, is if he somehow gets his mind and consciousness implanted into White Vision.
The reason that they have to have somebody like Dottie or somebody involved here is because we have Agnes, we have Wanda, and we also have Monica. Monica's going to be in the fight too in some respects. So there needs to be another person like a Dottie or someone who can also square off. I personally, I'm hoping for a happy ending and that the Vision's white body is merged somehow.
That's exactly what I just said.
Yes, I'm hoping for that.
I know. You were explaining it again. I'm like, I just said about his consciousness being put into the White Vision so he can leave the Hex.
Well, but I'm going to edit that part out so that it just sounds like something I came up with.
Oh, that's awesome. One more note. There is no Please Stand By this episode.
No, there's not, because we're done with that sitcom trope.
Yes, so don't stand by, people. Don't.
So I have no Easter eggs or anything further from this. Joel, did this conversation change your opinion or make it better or make it worse?
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily dove into the acting or the... I mean, I touched on it a little bit, but we didn't get too deep into the meatiness of it. And I think it is a really well-written episode with some spectacular acting in it.
No, there we got it.
There's a couple moments where she like does the, like she breaks, like ready to cry, and she fights it back, and I'm like, ooh, like that's really well done. Like, you can't fake that. That's like someone who's ready to break, like actually she's living in the moment of it, her acting, and it's just really well done. So mm-hmm. Yeah, good
Emmy nominated performance stuff. All right, one episode to go, people. I hope you're enjoying it. If they are, Joel, how can they get in touch with us?
Carrier pigeon, long form.
That's a long sigh.
Long form letter writing. Facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast, Twitter at Bennett Bros Pod, or email BennettBrothersPodcast@email.com, and also Patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Go there. Be surprised. See what happens.
Send us your theories. How do you think it's all going to end? If it's any good or any bad, we'll talk about it in this podcast. Do you have any theories? I think Ed Pierce is somehow involved when all this plays out, but we'll see.
Is it? And will this next episode will it be the last time we see Vision for a long time? I mean, I know we're
sure
going to see Wanda,
hope not.
And I sure hope not. Yes, I hope Vision is around for a long time. I bet, you know what, he should be, because eventually they're going to just make that character CGI, and he just has to come in and do the voice.
Excellent. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.